Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, please.
7:33.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 17, 2019. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the Board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Also posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. And we have a roll call, Mr. Falkowski, please.
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
Ms. Brooks?
Here.
Ms. Emery?
Present.
Dr. Foy? Ms. Figueroa?
Here.
Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
And Dr. Rahimaki?
Here. Thank you, sir. We all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, would you serve as the process guardian for this evening's meeting, please?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to open up the meeting this evening with the final budget presentation. Dr. Cohen and Mr. Falkowski, can you please present the final budget? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mike Falkowski, this is Dr. Cohen, and we're presenting the 2019-2020 budget. This is the agenda for the evening. We're going to go over a summary of the 2019-20 budget, talk about enrollment, talk about what the budget supports, staffing, professional development, academics, technology, extracurricular activities, transportation, buildings and grounds. And then we'll go into some budget detail, the spending plan, look at the tax levy, 10-year history, as well as the impact on taxpayers. Look at revenues, capital projects, and we have a slide on reorganization and analysis of the cost savings there. And at the end, we'll do a recap. Okay, so in summary, the budget maintains existing class size, academic offerings, extracurricular activities, professional development, and improvement in transportation while building in fiscally responsible salary increases, as well as continuing to maintain and improve district facilities. So what this budget is proposing is a 0% local tax levy. It also, overall, there will be a 0.0113% overall levy increase, so that's our local tax levy plus our debt service levy. In total, we received just shy of $2 million in state aid. This is a decrease of $23,673 from our fiscal year 19 budget. And our total expenditures will increase $538,921. So this slide represents a breakdown in a pie chart of the budget, but it excludes capital projects, grants, and our debt service. So this total budget is $26,433,670. And I think what an important point to look at in this pie chart is our salaries and benefits for the district represent 70% of this budget. And then you can see the other breakout of all the other groupings, with professional services at 7%, transportation at 6%, buildings and grounds at 5%, and then the other few percent is made up of supplies, capital expenditures, and some miscellaneous expenses. Next slide is our total budget for the year. Now, this includes the grants as well as our capital expenditures. Here now, our salaries come down to about just shy of 70%. And you can see our debt service comes in there at 7%. Our special revenue, which is our federal grants, 1%. And then you can see the other categories there as well. So enrollment, this is, I think, a very important portion of the presentation, and what really came into play in creating this budget. Next year, we're projecting a decrease in of a total of 62 students. That would be a total of 557 students that we've lost in the past 10 years. School choice students, and in this current year, we have 23 students. Next year, we're projected to have 18. We also receive students as well, Lebanon Borough. We have a projected number of 24 students for next year. We have one special education student. And we also have a pre-K program where we receive some tuition funds. So this is a chart that represents our enrollment over the past 10 years. It's a little blurry from here, but the blue line represents our resident students, and the gray in each one of the lines represents our received. And we start off in fiscal year 11 at 1,710 students, and next year we're projecting 1,153. Currently, we at the time of the Ukrainian side, we have 1,215. So it shows obviously a pretty steady decline in our student enrollment over the past 10 years. So what the budget supports?
Sure, just a little bit about staffing. Class size and student to teacher ratio does not increase with this budget. Staffing salary increases have been built in. The staffing has been right-sized, as we always do, to adjust for decreasing enrollment. We've done this in the past based on our need and as our student enrollment declines. Approximately $1.2 million in savings between staffing, which was $875,000, and benefits, $325,000. With staff reduction numbers as follows: Gen Ed, 3, Special Ed, 4, Custodial and Maintenance, 4, Child Study Team, 2, TAs, teaching assistants, 5, and administration, 1. Our professional development is an important piece that we continue to build in for staff, and our students benefit greatly. Since September 2018, $70,000 has been spent on professional development for the staff, including 6 professional development days. 200 staff have attended over 150 workshops. Continuing education, such as tuition reimbursement, which is above and beyond the $70,000, accounts for another $42,000. Staff training in English language arts, math, problem-based learning, harassment, intimidation, bullying, social emotional learning, Sarah Buxton, our on-site trainer, and so on. Our academics programs that we support through this budget, we continue with Go Math, Illustrative Math, Readers and Writers Workshop, FOSS Science, Discovery Ed Tech Books, Mystery Science, Social Studies, we have textbooks in My World History and Discovering Our Past, Renaissance Benchmark Assessment System, and Unified Arts Programs in Art, Music, World Language, STEAM and STEM, Physical Education, Health, and Library. And as some of you attended, our strategic planning continues to guide us through these programs. Our technology program includes a one-to-one Chromebook program for grades 6 through 8. That includes a refresh for student Chromebooks, a refresh for the staff Mac laptops, Chromebook carts pre-K through 5, and we increase the presence of those throughout the district, iPads, Fire tablets, other devices, robotics, coding, design lab, and TV studio. Our extracurricular activities supported by the budget include character ed programs such as Responsive Classroom, Words of Wisdom, Pillars of Character, ABC Days. Our enrichment programs such as TREPS, Law Adventure, Field Trips, Relay for Life, Math, Geography B. Our clubs such as Video Club, Ski Club, Golden Eagles, and the Camerata Singers, Gardening, and more. The sports programs supported by this budget, such as soccer, cross country, basketball, volleyball, golf, lacrosse, baseball, and softball. In this budget as well, we've included transportation improvements. We continue to monitor the efficiency of our transportation system and have built in some improvements through additional routes for next year. And that should allow us to decrease some of those ride times, especially for the little guys who are on there a little bit too long.
Okay, so on the buildings and ground side, we budgeted just shy of $2.7 million towards expenditures necessary to continue to maintain, improve, and modernize our buildings and grounds. That includes an HVAC, air conditioning project, bathroom renovations, and increase in number, park removal, tower replacement, some security upgrades, and then we also get a SDA assessment from the state, which is essentially an interest payment for state, for Avid received in the past. That's all in that budgeted number. So budget detail. Essentially, what this slide represents is our total budget, is comparing it to the current year we're in, 2018-2019. So the first, the general current expense, as you can see, we're actually decreasing those expenses by $544,854. An area that we're increasing is our capital expenditures. That's going up over $1 million. That money, as you'll see in a further slide, comes from a capital reserve fund that we have, where we essentially put money away for capital improvements. And then you can see the total general fund budget is going up $532,753, which is just shy of 2%. Our special revenue fund, which includes our ESEA and IDA funds, those are federal grant funds that are used for specific purposes. Those are going to go up slightly based on what we've received, actual grants we've received, which is a little over 1%. And then our debt service fund, this is essentially our mortgage payments, as you can say, our finance payments on projects that we've had in the past. And that payment schedule adjusts slightly each year. And this current year coming up, or the new budget year coming up, it goes up by $2,900. And that's where we see that very slight tax levy increase overall, is at $2,900. So overall, our budget goes up in total of expenditures of $538,121, again, just shy of 2%. So this is gives a breakdown of essentially where that $29 million, just shy of $30 million is being spent. Salaries and benefits, a little over $20 million. Professional services, just shy of $1.9. Transportation, $1.6. Buildings and grounds, approximately $1.5. Supplies, about $700,000. Miscellaneous expenses, $78,000. Capital expenditures, a little over $1.2 million. There's our grants, again, special revenue, $302, and then our debt service payment. So that makes up, those are big categories that makes up our $29,915,000 total budget, which is up $538,000 from last year, or from current year. So tax levy, so this is a slide that represents essentially the tax levy that I summarized right at the beginning of the presentation. We operate under the 2% cap, which was put in place, which means as long as we stick to a budget that does not, the tax levy does not increase over 2%, we do not have to go out to vote for the budget. So what we're presenting tonight is actually a local tax levy increase that stays the same tax levy as this current year, so at 0%. And then there's our debt service payment again. Now that's something that was already in place when we sold our bonds and the schedule is made up. That's going up $2,900. So that's where we get that very slight change in our tax levy, overall tax levy. So this is a 10-year history of our tax levy. And the top one in highlighted in green being for next year. And basically what I have is the local tax levy, the change, and then our debt service levy, the change, and the total. So you can see, over the past 10 years, the board has been very fiscally responsible with managing the decrease in student enrollment with the actual local tax levy increase. Our biggest year of increases was actually last year, which was just shy total of 3%. And the reason why we even hit that number is the school had some additional funds that it used to reduce the debt service payment for that year, prior year, and then it went up the following year. So again, this represents a very fiscally responsible board as far as managing the tax levy versus the decrease in enrollment. So this slide tries to, okay, what does this all mean? The tax impact on the homeowners in this district. So our fiscal year 20 rate for 100 hours of evaluation at our proposed 0.00% is 1.19. Now, this is an increase over fiscal year 19 of just 0.001, so minimal. So for $100,000 of assessed value, a homeowner would see $1.30 in increased taxes. The average assessed home given to us by the town is just shy of $400,000. So the assessment on that would be $5.17. And then what I did is I put an example of a home that's recently sold in the area. So at the end of February, you can see the specifics of the home there. That particular home would go up $6.84 for a full year in taxes. Now, if we actually went up on the levy cap, I gave an example of what that would be if we went to 2%. And then we also had bank cap available as well. So, the board could have gone up as much as, on this example, $402 for the year. But it chose to be fiscally responsible with decreasing enrollment and hold our tax levy the same. So this is our makeup essentially of our state aid. You can see I'm basically comparing 4 years of state aid, the 2019-2020, and if you go to the bottom, it's just shy of the $2 million, which is a decrease of the $23,673. But you can see, back in 2016-2017, we had a little over $2.3 million each one of those years. And last year, this current year, the budget was actually created with another $302,000 that we were originally projected to receive in state adjustment aid. And then when the governor's budget was finally adopted, that amount was taken away from the school. So we're actually operating on that budget that we created with the $302,000, but then our state aid was reduced for this current year. And that could happen again. We don't know, but right now these are our projected figures for next year. Okay, so of the tax levy and our known state aid revenues, that supports 92.2% of our budget, and the other 7.8% comes from the following. I'm not going to go into complete detail of these, but it includes the big portion of this up there. I'll point out our capital reserve account. We're taking a little over $1 million out of that account to fund the projects that we talked about. Tuition makes up another big portion of that, just shy of $600,000. Okay, so this slide again shows state history over 10 years. This kind of breaks it out by column. And you can see, our aid for next year is essentially less than it's been, for almost 10 years. There's a 1 year there, fiscal year 11 or fiscal year 12. That's when Chris Christie cut significant state aid, essentially in the middle of a school year from all the schools, and then it came back in fiscal year 13. This slide just kind of gives you a visual look on what our state aid is done versus our tax levy. So the state aid is in the orange, and for the most part, it's relatively flat going back to fiscal year 13. However, the tax levy has increased essentially to make up for increases in our budget. So you can kind of see there's a little bit of a disproportionate ratio there of how those the state aid is keeping up with our tax levy. So this is a little bit more detail on our capital projects.
Yeah, the capital projects we have planned for the summer. It will be a very busy summer, and I think it'll be worthwhile. Patrick McGarren, we're looking at HVAC system, and that's to $266,900, and that will be beginning immediately after school ends for the school year, completed before the school year begins in September. Security upgrades across the district, those will be done, much of that will be done by our in-house staff. We've projected the cost at $100,000. Bathroom remodels and additions over at Patrick McGarren School, $630,000. That will be going out to bid shortly, to begin immediately in the summer and to be completed in stages estimated to the following September. We have the need to add bathrooms as well as renovate over at Patrick McGarren. Carpet removal and tile replacement at the Round Valley School. There are several classrooms that do have carpeting that will be removed. Tile will be put in place. That will begin early in summer and be completed by September 2019.
Yeah, sure. So one of the slides that the board asked to see and present to the public was the reorganization. So originally the board had estimated that the reorg would save $900,000. On the bottom, we have the one-time cost as well as additional costs that were incurred. So, you know, there was additional cost of $250,000 to do the reorganization. A big portion of that, was mold remediation at $125,000. So that, I mean, I guess that was pretty unexpected. And there was also additional moving costs, et cetera. So we also, you know, we also lost that state aid I talked about. I put that here in this calculation as well. We lost that $302,694. So if we actually did look at that, that would be a savings of about $347,306. Right now, I'm projecting a fund balance at the end of this year of approximately $322,000, so a difference of about $25,000. So, you know, in the end, it was, I would say, a pretty close estimate on what we would save with the reorganization. And essentially, that's really like a one-time savings, meaning it's like a reset in the budget, and we don't have to have this money in the budget moving forward. So to recap, the 2019-20 budget, essentially it minimizes the impact to our taxpayers with a 0% local tax levy increase and a 0.0113 overall tax levy increase. And that's the local tax levy and that debt service levy. It maintains our academic offerings, extracurricular activities, improves transportation time, improves upon instruction through professional development, increases in staff salary and benefits were built into the budget, addresses safety and security needs, and responsibly maintains and modernizes district buildings and grounds.
Sure. Clinton Township School District has been fiscally responsible while maintaining the highest level of education possible for our students. That includes maintaining our current class sizes, advancing our curricular and co-curricular programs, and providing ongoing professional development to our staff. The district has faced declining enrollment, continued loss of state aid, and rising health care and salary costs. We have been able to manage by right-sizing staff according to student need and enrollment numbers and undergoing a reorganization of the district.
Thank you. Any board members have any questions for Mrs. Carr?
Yeah. Hi. The budget that we've just reviewed tonight in what way different from the one that we reviewed last month?
It's essentially the same. When we approved the preliminary budget, we're essentially what we're approving is your overall large number, which is a local tax levy and a debt service.
Okay.
Then I have to actually put those figures into state software. It has to be approved by the county. So there were slight adjustments to the to some of the revenues based on feedback from the county with tuitions. Essentially the county VA wanted our tuition number to match, for example, Lebanon's number exactly. So we had to work with that. He also, so there was a slight decrease there. He also, you know, asked me to adjust some other numbers based on what we've actually received over the past couple of years to kind of bring those up a little bit. So there was some slight variation in some of those miscellaneous revenues, but all the other expenditure lines or anything stayed the same.
Okay, so that to me means that there were no substantive changes in any of the decisions of where to place money.
Correct.
On behalf of the students.
That's correct. 100%
okay.
Correct.
So this is in essence exactly the same budget that the facilities and finance team recommended.
Correct.
That we approved.
And yes.
The facilities and finance team is made up of Maria Grant, Kevin Malloy, Lana Brennan, and Catherine Rihimaki. Is that not correct?
Correct.
And it is exactly, essentially, the same budget that we voted to approve at our last public meeting?
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
We have a question.
Sure.
So I am curious about the debt service part of the budget.
Sure.
I am curious about the timeline of how long the district will continue paying on that debt, and sort of, since I'm a new board member, if there's any background on that.
Yeah, sure. So the district, I don't have the specifics directly in front of me right now, but the district refunded all its bonds, and I don't have the schedules in front of me, but Marie, maybe you could...
Yeah, I think it goes to 32.
Okay.
I don't have the exact dates, but there's refundings that were done and schedules, and they go out tens of years. Yes.
With the likelihood that there'll be some refinancing again before 2032, if we can find advantageous terms that benefit the district.
And do we look at that on a, it sounds like we did it last year, so is there a set cadence that we...
Yes, and essentially, the way it works, if you could achieve a certain percentage, first of all, there's all kinds of rules that surround what's called refunding the bonds. So, you know, once you refund them, you have to wait X number of years based on the terms that exist. And then if you could save, I believe it's somewhere around like a 3% total savings. I don't know the exact figure off the top of my head, but you could then look at refunding them again. And quite frankly, there's a lot of professionals out there that are looking at these figures on the municipal and district levels consistently. And when we get very close where we can potentially do that, we're going to be basically barraged by numerous professionals trying to, you know, start to refund these for us. So they are looked at, they are being looked at continually, and as soon as there's an opportunity to refund those and save money, that will occur. And obviously, interest rates is what drives that, so if interest rates start to go down, that could put us in an opportunity again where we could refund these again.
Okay. And then I have another question about, so our enrollment since 2016 is down about 20%. And so the loss in state aid that we had experienced last year was about 10% of our budget. What was that?
It's 13% of the overall.
Right. And so I'm curious if we are at risk of, if they right-sized basically their state aid to us, we could face another
Correct.
Substantial cut. Is that something that is likely for the district or?
Again, we received these figures, you know, a couple months ago. The budget, the state of New Jersey's budget has to be approved by June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, for this current budget, you know, there were changes made and a new agreement put in place, and that's where we lost that $302,000. That's what we have, what's called adjustment aid. So we no longer have adjustment aid. However, it's always possible that before the state budget's approved by June 30th, there could be a change to how the calculations are, you know, to provide funding to the various districts out there.
Okay.
I think the risk of losing money this year based on our projection from the state is probably pretty minimal, but it's always a possibility. And, you know, the state has, I believe it's like a 7-year plan right now to roll out where certain schools are getting more funding and certain schools are losing funding. And they're going to try to get closer and closer to following the school funding formula. That could change any time because they haven't followed it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But right now they're working towards trying to, you know, get schools to that school funding formula. So if our enrollment continues to go down, yes, we could lose more state funding, of course.
And so last year, unexpectedly in August, we lost $302,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as a result of decline in enrollment. It's not the first time where we've lost significant amount of state aid unexpectedly. What happened to a lot of districts in the state is when they lost state aid in August, they ended up having to rip staff and increase class size. Because of the reorganization last year, we were very fortunate we didn't have to do that. But that's why it's always important to be prepared at some level for it, because it's just a habit in the state that it can happen at any time, so we always have to be cautious about that.
Okay. And I have one last
mm-hmm.
question. So I noticed that our buildings and grounds budget increased by over $100,000, and I'm curious, what's driving that change?
Yeah, essentially, you know, what was, it's a little, you know, to look at it and say, okay, it's increased $100,000. It was, I would say it was budgeted light this current year and not, it didn't really, like for this 18-19 school year, it really didn't follow what we've actually been spending over the years. on general maintenance of the facilities. So that increase is really kind of to bring us up to really what, how we're truly spending to maintain the facility.
Any other question?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I think I know the answer to this, but in terms of the capital spending, there was a lot of discussion last year with the mold remediation and wanting to be more proactive and try to prevent the mold from happening instead of just fixing it once it has happened. And should we understand the HVAC system as part of that proactive efforts?
Yes, actually it is. I think that's a really important piece of the puzzle here, you know, trying to decrease that humidity within the building. Of course, last year was very wet. We don't know what's going to happen with the weather, but we do know that the building does need the HVAC, and that's just a, you know, a benefit of that is to help with any type of mold issue that may come up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
If I have questions about like specific line items, should I save those for later? Because they might be too specific.
I'm not sure if he has the specific.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, you could ask. I mean, if I have more detail, I could pull out if you want. If you have a
okay.
I mean, I could try to answer it now. If not, I'll have to, you know, get back to you.
Yeah. I'll wait.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
So we saved approximately $900,000 when we closed the school, and you indicated that those costs have now been absorbed and won't continue moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, essentially what I showed on this slide, and, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, to show this analysis, but, you know, we had when the board decided to reorganize, and again, I wasn't here, so maybe other members can speak on some of the details. But the idea of reorganization obviously was to save money. And the projection was approximately, you know, from what I saw, the presentations and everything out there, the projection was right around $900,000. Okay. Then it ended up costing, and I have it listed on the slide here, an additional $250,000 more than what we had thought it was going to cost. But then, take that away, you know, that's $650,000 in savings. But what I did here is we didn't know we were going to lose state aid, too. So all of a sudden, we lost state aid of $302,000. So that really brought our savings down to $315,000. And essentially, if we were running like a budget where, you know, when the business administrator or the board budgets a budget, you budget revenue and you budget expenses. Those actually match identically. So essentially, what you're saying is you're not going to have any money left over. So right now, I'm projecting we're going to have approximately $322,000 left at the end of the year, and that's a combination of many things. But essentially, that's a way of me projecting right now that, yeah, it's pretty close. We're going to save $900,000. You know, it costs $250,000 more. We lost $302,000 in state aid. And yeah, we're coming in pretty close. If you take those two things into consideration, we're coming in pretty close for the end of the year of the actual savings we're going to have. But that's a one-time, that's really like a one-time thing. Like we don't, if we didn't do that, we'd have to make sure we had this $900,000 in this year's, next year's budget to pay for those things that now we've saved. So it is a savings, but it's like a reset of the budget, if that makes sense.
So it was a one-time saving, not an annual savings.
Yeah, it is an annual savings, meaning that our budget's not $900,000 higher. However, it's like it resets everything. It's kind of a difficult concept to, like, you know, we're saving $900,000 a year, but the budget gets reset. And I'll just use round numbers. The budget's $30 million. If we didn't do this, now there really should have been $31 million, and then whatever increases we have. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of just brings it down and keeps it at a certain place, but then we have obviously increasing costs again.
It doesn't create a surplus.
Correct.
So it's money that we're not having to spend moving forward.
So next question would be, there's an indication of $1.2 million savings for staff reduction, but yet I don't see that necessarily reflected within a deduction from last year's budget to this year's budget.
So the $1.2 million is made up of staffing decreases and its related healthcare increases. So whatever staff is being reduced, they had X, Y, Z health plans. So that adds up to approximately $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. However, we've built into the budget staffing increases and increases to the healthcare, which are a significant dollar figure, so it eats up a big chunk of that savings. There's other things that, you know, increase slightly. So even though we're saving that money, we also have other expenses that are increasing. So that's why, you know, what you're seeing in that budget detail, you know, and again, a big portion, like we have over $1 million we're taking out of our capital reserve. So that kind of skews those numbers. That's money that the board put away to take care of like an HVAC project. It's the only way you can do those type of things. When you save the money, and then when you have it built up, you can then spend it to, on the facility. So if you took away that over $1 million in that capital reserve fund we're using, you would kind of see those savings more in the overall numbers.
Yeah, I see that. Thank you.
Sure.
Any question?
Can I ask one more?
Mm-hmm.
So I am curious about the assumptions around Spruce Run School for the coming year, particularly. It looks like we're budgeting for a similar or even increased amount of like electricity and natural gas spend, which you know, we spent, you know, $60,000 a year lighting it, and now it's largely empty. Are we assuming that there's going to be somebody there, and if there were, wouldn't they be renting it?
Sure, I can talk about that. There are people there, so we do have to keep all the lights on. It's just a piece of security for the little guys that are up there. The facility is being used currently. We have hosted several professional development trainings there, as well as Kevin Bird from the Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Office, and we have a full office staff there as well. So we do keep, you know, we do keep the facility running for all of those purposes. Moving forward, we will do
it's
the same.
It's used in the evenings as well.
Yes.
It's still,
yes,
it's still that usage well. Has not decreased. Mm-hmm. There's still Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, basketball, and events in there in the evenings as well.
Okay.
Any other question? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On Thursday, April 25th, 2019, members of the Clinton Township Board of Education, district administrators and staff, and stakeholders from our community completed the final session of a three-step strategic planning process for the district. The strategic planning process sets the direction for how the children of Clinton Township are educated from an academic, social, and emotional perspective for the next 5 years. The strategic planning process began on Monday, January 8th of 2019. During this first evening session, the topic focused on strengths, achievements, challenges of the Clinton Township School District. Dr. Michelle Cohn, Superintendent of Schools, presented an overview of the current state of the schools. Ms. Gwen Thornton, New Jersey School Board's Field Service Representative, reviewed the strategic planning process that the group would undertake. A total of 18 participants then gathered in random groups to identify the strengths, achievements, and challenges of the district through brainstorming and sharing. After discussion, each group came to a consensus of its top 10 strengths, achievements, and top 10 challenges and presented those to all participants. The second strategic planning session took place on January 31st, 2019. Once again, the Board of Education, district administrators and staff, and community members came together to continue to develop a strategic plan for the district. The evening's topic was focused on developing a vision for the district and identifying initiatives that will move the district closer to the vision for the Clinton Township School District. 37 participants gathered in randomly assigned groups to identify their vision and initiatives. After discussion, each group came to a consensus and presented those to meeting participants. At the end of the second meeting, four common threads appeared from all previous work, and they were identified. The first was teaching and learning, the second, social emotional learning, the third, communications and partnership and engagement, the fourth, health and wellness, And the fifth, facilities and finance. During the final meeting, the group examined these common threads, finalized goal areas, and created overarching goal statements and supporting objectives for each. As always, the district's mission statement underlined all of the work done that night. Each of these goal areas, their goal statement, and objectives will be posted on our website. In a future meeting, the Clinton Township Board of Education will vote to approve these goals Following its approval, Dr. Michelle Cohn, Superintendent of Schools, will create an action plan for these goals and objectives, which will be shared with the board. Updates on the plan's progress subsequently will be shared regularly with members of the board and with stakeholders. On behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education and Dr. Cohn, we would like to thank all of those who participated in the development of our strategic plan. We greatly appreciate the time and dedication that all of our participants put forth to develop the district's five-year strategic plan. The goals and their objectives, again, will be placed on the district's website for all to review. On April 4th, 2019, Clinton Township School District Superintendent Michelle Cohn successfully defended her dissertation and earned her doctorate in educational leadership. Dr. Cohn began her doctoral studies at Centenary University in the fall of 2016 while she was completing the Leader to Leader program. The Leader to Leader program is the New Jersey Department of Education's required mentoring program for those interested in achieving their principal's license. Dr. Cohn completed her coursework in 2 years, taking classes at night and through the summers, and spending the last year writing her dissertation. Dr. Cohn's dissertation's topic was the relationship between school climate and student achievement, which focused on the importance of school climate, including teacher collaboration, professional relationships, community expectations, and parental engagement as key factors of student achievement. Dr. Cohn's success in education and her work towards her doctorate will be highlighted and featured in the June 2019 edition of the Centenarian magazine. Dr. Cohn, on behalf of the full Board of Education, we'd like to congratulate you on your outstanding achievement. Some sad news. The Clinton Township Board of Education would like to extend our sincere condolences to Mrs. Gwen Thornton, our loyal and dedicated New Jersey School Board's field service representative. On April 13, 2019, Mrs. Thornton lost her husband of 41 years, Lawrence Thornton, after a 13-year battle with cancer. Mr. Thornton dedicated his time to the students and families at the Matheny Educational and Medical Center. In addition to his time as a volunteer at Matheny, he was a dedicated member of the Board of Trustees and the Board of Education. He was a member of the St. Bridget Parish in PPAC Gladstone and Blessed Sacrament Parish in Martinville, New Jersey, where he was past Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus, Our Ladies of the Hills, as well as a district deputy. The board will be sending a donation to Ms. Thornton in Mr. Thornton's name to the Matheny Educational and Medical Center. Once again, we would like to extend our deepest sympathy to the Thornton family. It is regret that we inform the Clinton Township community that Dr. Jeffrey Foy has handed in his resignation as a member of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Dr. Foy has accepted a new job out of state and therefore will not be able to continue to serve on this Board of Education. Dr. Foy was an outstanding member of the board. He served as a member of the district's policy, curriculum committees, and the feasibility of closing a school committee, and on the negotiations committee. The Clinton Township Board of Education would like to thank Dr. Foy for his service and dedication to the children of Clinton Township. His endless insight and contributions won't be missed. The board now has an open seat to fill, and details of this process for replacing Dr. Foy will be provided shortly. And with that, I'd like to move the following resolution. Be it resolved, it is with regret that the Clinton Township Board of Education accepts the resignation of board member Dr. Jeffrey Foy, effective immediately. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Actually, I have a question. What is the timeline for replacing Dr. Foy?
We have 65 days to replace Dr. Foy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Roll call. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Next week, our district will celebrate our staff during our annual Staff Appreciation Week across each of our schools in the district. This event, organized and managed by our Parent Teacher Association, is filled with plenty of snacks, lunches, items for our staff, and all types of activities for our staff to enjoy. The Clinton Township Board of Education would like to recognize and thank each member of our staff for their hard work and dedication to educating the students of our school district. In addition, we'd also like to express our gratitude to the Clinton Township Parent Association for sponsoring and running this week-long event. I'd also like to take a quick moment and recognize Mr. Vito Gagliardi, who about a month ago was admitted into the United States Supreme Court Bar, which is quite an accomplishment. So, Mr. Gagliardi, we are happy to have you as our representative, but also congratulations, sir, on this big achievement. I'd like to move on now, please, to the report of the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Michelle Cohn. May we have your report, please?
Sure. Good evening. Our enrollment this evening is 1,220. We have the suspension report this evening. You'll see on the agenda. We have 5 one-day out-of-school suspensions at CTMS, 4 one-day in-school suspensions CTMS, 2 half-day in-school suspensions CTMS, 1 half-day in-school suspension PMG, 3 one-day in-school suspensions Round Valley, and 1 half-day in-school suspension at Round Valley. We have several first reading for our harassment, intimidation, bullying reports, and we have several second readings. I would like to just make a mention of some concert date changes. We have made some changes to allow some families that are participating in some confirmation activities. We wanted to make sure that no one missed out on anything. So we do have a few changes. Middle school, Clinton Township Middle School band concert is Tuesday, May 14th. This is a date change. The choral concert, incidentally, is the May 23rd at the middle school. That is the same date that it had been. And at Round Valley, we have May 21st will be the grade 4 instrumental concert. That's changed to June 3rd. So it was May 21st. It is now June 3rd. And if there are any other, I'm sure you'll be reading about some extra concerts in the school newsletters. And if you have any questions, contact your building principals or main office of the building for specifics on the concerts. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Cohn. I'm looking for a motion, please, for 19-SU-017 to 19-SU-019, please.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Malloy. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Ms. Brennan. Any questions for Dr. Cohn?
A couple of questions. Dr. Cohn, and first of all, it's an honor to call you Dr. Cohn.
Thank you.
These suspensions seem to be aberrantly high this month. Is there a change of policy or just a particularly excitable month?
I think it's spring at the middle school and in schools in general. We can all attest to that. It's time of year, a little testing and whatnot. I think the, it gets a little...
So it's a change of behavior, just not more people getting caught?
I don't know. That's a really good question, so...
It's just noticeable. I was just
it is noticeable,
if it was
yeah.
any one single event or...
No, I don't think so. I think it's spring in the schools.
Understood.
So, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Mike?
I would like to offer a friendly motion, given the length of the advertised executive session that we move to adjust the agenda so that the committee reports and action items 19-BA026 through 19-BA029, 19-FF-208 through 19-FF-232. And 19-CUR-050 through 19-052 occur prior to entering into the executive session.
Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Ms. Emery? Questions?
Yeah. What is the reason for this?
The executive session is supposedly 4 hours long, and so I doubt the public wants to wait for 4 hours to hear the remaining part of the meeting.
But this is the way it was advertised? Okay.
It was, but
in the
by our
newspapers and the other...
Our bylaws indicate that we can change the
that.
Agenda by a majority vote of the
Yeah, board. I understand, but is there a compelling reason other than that somebody wants to change it for the audience? I see teachers in the audience, and I love you guys, but I have... You know, actual community members who pay taxes here planning to come to hear the end of the meeting.
They can still hear the end of the meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
And in addition, it's my understanding that there may be information discussed during the executive session that has a bearing on the decisions that we need to make. I would prefer to have that information before being asked to make those decisions, would you not?
I am leaving agenda item 19-FF-233 until after executive session.
Which one is that, please?
That is the vote on the budget.
So understanding the genesis of this, I would politely demur understanding that I'm guessing 99% of the audience or greater is here to see the vote on 19-FF-233. Having said that, it's part of the first committee. And I think I don't think there's a true time benefit gained. I understand that, I just politely disagree.
And also, weren't you one of the ones who wanted to change it from what it was originally going to be to what we advertised it to the public for?
I did want the vote on the budget to occur after the executive session, but there are several other items.
But wasn't there a request to move the executive session to the front prior to the rest of the meeting by 4 board members on Thursday evening?
I can help clarify that, Mrs. Grant, because I was the one who made that request. We didn't make a motion. That was a request on my part. And I specifically requested just the vote on the final budget to be after the executive session. I'm not sure that any of the other things actually do have bearing on the executive session, since we have written a motion for the executive session that we will be talking about negotiations. So I don't believe that the other items, including policy and curriculum, actually will be affected by our executive session. So this is really a courtesy for the audience here to just hear the rest of the votes.
If I may ask, what about the people who saw how it was advertised and potentially could come later after the executive session? I mean, what about that?
They're still welcome to come later. The executive session times are always approximate, so
if we are coming back here, if you're promising that we're coming back here in exactly 4 hours, I think they can come back. Are you suggesting that there are a lot of people who are going to come just for the stuff that's after the executive session?
No, I'm not suggesting anything other than we advertised that upon request of Thursday night that the executive session be moved up to the front of the agenda, and that's what the request was.
I suggest that we move to a vote because it doesn't have to be a unanimous vote, but I think I move to close the discussion.
I mean, we had a second on the motion. Should we just vote?
Can vote.
Yep.
Okay, Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
No.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
No.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Graham?
No.
That's 5 yeses and 3 noes. So motion carries.
Very good. Thank you. I'd like to open the floor, please, for the public comments section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comments section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interaction section between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has any immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools. No participant may speak more than once on the topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board on agenda items only at this time, approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limited this public comment section to 30 minutes. Ready?
My name is Penny Perez McFadden. I work at Round Valley School as a speech language specialist. I'm also co-chair of this Clinton Township Education Association's negotiations team. Members of the Clinton Township Education Association have been working with an expired contract for 6 of the past 8 years. Since November 2017, the Board of Education has refused to meet face-to-face with the teachers negotiations team and instead has insisted on communicating only through a series of different lawyers and law firms. The teachers feel that time is of the essence when it comes to securing a fair employment contract with the board. Unfortunately, the leadership of the board continues to step up, Unfortunately, the leadership of the board continues to set up stipulations as a precondition to meeting with the association's negotiation team. This is no way to negotiate a settlement, and it clearly isn't working. The CTEA's negotiation team has always supported the board's desire for our district to be financially responsible. This board responsibility extends not only to the taxpayers, but also to those who have dedicated their careers and livelihoods to the betterment of the Clinton Township community. The good teachers of your district have been waiting a long time for this contract to settle. We are tired of being forced to do the same thing over and over again, under the false pretense that such actions would yield different results. If we want different results, we have to try different approaches. Again, the CTEA's negotiation team would like to respectfully request a meeting with the board in its entirety to discuss any and all negotiation issues. What harm could come from simply meeting together and talking? Having the membership of the board as a whole at such a meeting would be a way of taking a different approach to this reoccurring problem. In a recent public statement, the leadership of the board stated that the Board of Education has the highest level of respect for each and every district staff member, and that the board appreciates all we do for our students. If the board as a whole would sit down with the association's negotiation team, that act would demonstrate to your teachers and staff that all of you truly understand the importance of negotiating a fair contract. This meeting would also go a long way in demonstrating the board's respect for the members of the Clinton Township Education Association and the fine members of this community. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jenny Russo. I have two children in the Clinton Township School District, one in fifth grade, one in sixth grade. And I just want to thank all of the teachers here tonight and all the teachers that are unable to be here tonight, because I was a school choice family, I'm going to call it. And I worked really hard to get into the position that I'm standing here today so that I could come up here and speak as to the reputation Clinton Township has. I had the choice to go to any other school. I could have stayed in school choice and lived in any other town, but I wanted to stay in Clinton Township because I respect these teachers, each and every one of them. I respect the reputation the school has. I respect the time that both you, the board puts in and the teachers put in. But I want to tell you, as a teacher myself, morale does not help our students. When morale is low, teachers walk into school feeling depressed. When the teachers are not feeling happy, obviously they're going to be professionals, but they're not going to be able to be their best selves. They went to school for a specific reason. They want to take care of our children. They're taking care of them. But I'm concerned that this back and forth is not being resolved. I'm concerned that their needs are not being met. I know that you're taking the time. I know everything's being researched. Clinton Township is quickly getting a reputation as, oh yeah, that school district that has had several superintendents and no contract. And yes, other school districts are having the same issue, but guess what? My kids go to this district. I believe in these teachers. I worked in a private school and they kept asking me why I wouldn't send my kids there. And I said, because I trust Clinton Township. I trust the education we're getting there. I'm going to keep them there. And anyone who's asked me that has heard me say the same thing. So please take that into consideration. I've done some research also. If someone can make note, the minutes have not been updated on the website since maybe 2018, last year. There are a lot of parents that are looking to read up, and I appreciate the communication we're getting from the board, but there are other, we're looking to go back into time, and we keep hearing about how this has been going back and forth for a while. We'd like to read some information for ourselves, so if you guys, if you wouldn't mind updating that. Enrollment being down, it's happening everywhere. You close the building. I know you're working hard to figure out how you can save money there. But we're talking about now. We're not talking about 10 years from now. We're talking about now. So enrollment didn't drop like a tremendous amount for us to say we are not going to work with the teachers. So please think about the school climate. Think about what our community expectations are. We still want the reputation of Clinton Township to stay.
Can you please interrupt?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is David Pfeffer. I don't have students in the district, but I'm a taxpayer and I live in Clinton Township. The concept of closing Spruce Run was, of course, to save money. We saw slides in the budget about the some of the cost savings that were included in that. But then I also heard the answer to Dr. Grantham's question about that we're spending money on gas and things like that, because we have some activities that are still happening in that building. I know part of the idea behind keeping the building but closing it, but sort of only closing it a little bit, was going to be that we were going to use it for revenue generation and things like that. And so my question is, I guess my note is, and perhaps this is something that can be answered right now, is this something that's currently revenue positive at this point? Will it become revenue positive soon? And is there plans to do a lot more in the way of revenue generation from Spruce Run School? Thank you.
He needs to know that there's kids there.
Can everyone, when they come to speak, just make sure you sign in on the thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Kaltenbeck. I'm a teacher in another district and a parent of a Patrick McGarren student and a taxpayer here in Clinton. I'd like to thank all the teachers here for all their hard work. We as teachers work in a profession that's often demeaned and degraded by politicians and the press. Working in a district that doesn't settle a contract for this long only furthers that demoralization. This will result in more of our best and brightest leaving for other jobs and other districts. We've seen it happen, and it will continue to happen. Even with the best of intentions on the part of our staff, this demoralization will ultimately hurt our children. It's really hard to come to work and put that bright smile on your face and do the best job when you're miserable. I know this. I've been there. Please open real negotiations with the goal of settling this contract so that our teachers can go back to doing what they do best, which is educate our children. Our teachers deserve a fair contract. Thank you.
Good evening, my name is Scott Hornick. I am a parent of a child in this district who came to this district for the education. I want to thank the teachers right off the top of the bat. I received a letter that I'm not allowed to contact them outside of school hours. Thank you for waiting 2 years for that. That's beyond belief. But that effectively cuts me off from the teachers. Right? I'm a teacher myself at a college that just went for 2 years without a contract. I understand what it's like to have a stagnant paycheck while my benefits went up. So I actually was bringing home less money every month. There's no job security. There is this searching for jobs elsewhere. That's not fair to our children. The continuity is one of the most important things. It's not fair to do this to the teachers. We had an election where there's four board members changed. I think that was the township speaking out that they're not happy with how these things are going. But yet things here are still going the exact same. We keep having turnover after turnover after turnover. We're not going to be able to recruit better teachers. We have great ones, but when they leave, how are we going to get people here? Who wants to come work somewhere where their contract doesn't exist? 6 out of 8 years without a contract is not continuity. There's one common thread through that, and that's this board. It's disgusting. We ask these teachers to teach our kids math, science, but most importantly, how to work together, elementary school, how to come together and teach and treat each other with respect, yet we disrespect them every day. And by the township saying we want change here and not having that change, that's disrespecting the taxpayers as well. It's really, really sad. I hope we can get this together at the one strategic meeting. One of the talks was, why would Clinton Township School District be on the cover of Time Magazine in 5 years? And there was a lot of great discussion that night. I left here feeling really good. But as I read more and I study up on more of this, what I'm seeing and what I fear is it's going to be about Clinton Township School District. Where did the teachers go? Where did this incredible county, that's a highly educated county compared to a lot of places in New Jersey especially, where did they go wrong and lose their schools and lose their children? It's really sad. Please, just get together. Negotiations aren't fun. It's not about winning. It's not about ego. It's about doing the right thing. Thank you, teachers, for doing that for our kids.
Sonia Dominakis, taxpayer, community member. I have two students, one at Round Valley and one at PMG. I'm also a proud employee of Clinton Township School District. And I don't say proud because of the situation we're in. I am proud to have these people as my family. So I want to touch on something that you had mentioned just a second ago, Scott, about the strategic planning. I showed up to the last one. I wasn't able to make it the first few. And I left there feeling super positive, rejuvenated. I'm thinking in my head, this is a great five-year plan. This is a great strategic plan. I'm excited to see what Dr. Kuhn comes up with in terms of actions to put this plan in place. And I'm sitting here thinking, I have a current fifth grader and I have a current second grader. They'll be here while we're putting this plan in place. And I'm sitting here like, I've had a part in that. I couldn't be more proud. And then I come to school where I work. And I don't want to be here at 7:30, which is when we start. I want to be here at 7 o'clock so that I can get my mind in the right place to be on my A game for the students. The fact that we have now had to turn on our vacation responders on the email. The fact that we have had to limit access, our access to the students, the access to the things that we do, I can't do my job as a result of this limbo that we're all sitting in for the last 668 days. You are keeping me from being at my best. And I am doing my darndest to not let me do that. But our patience is only so big. And it sadly is starting to wear thin. I'm sorry, union. I've been coming in early and I've been leaving late. Don't tell anybody. However, I've got to do what I got to do to make sure my kids see 150% of this crazy personality every single day. For 180 something days, because I wouldn't have it any less. But it's starting to wear thin on me. It's starting to wear thin on me when I have to shut off my computer and only turn it back on the next day. Because I can't stop this from thinking about my students, about my parents, about my lesson the next day. Please help us. Let us reach that 150% that we put in every day regardless. Facilitate us in doing that. Please, I implore you, as some of the previous speakers have, to sit down, whole board.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, 3 minutes is up, thank you.
You had a great idea. Whole board, thank you.
Now close the floor then. Open up the floor. Sorry, one more. You go ahead.
Okay. So I just listened to the budget presentation.
Sir, can you state your name for the record, please?
Philip Traeger, Annandale.
Thank you.
I just listened to the budget, and there was a section in the budget where you've already allocated money for increased salaries and benefits. So if you've already done that for this next year, I don't understand why you can't get together and get a contract put together. It can't be about the money, because you've already allocated money. Now, it may not be enough, but it just seems that if you've already allocated money for salary and benefits for the teachers, that it got to be a lot more than just money. So I've been listening to this since I moved to the town almost 3 years ago. And I came from a town where the teachers and the board had similar problems to this one. And over the course of 3 to 5 years, it cost the townspeople property values, it cost them quality teachers, and it really hurt the schools. And the town that I came from got the reputation for having a board of education and a teachers union that just couldn't get together. This has to stop. It's just beyond any kind of reasonableness. Grow up. Everybody needs to grow up. Gotta leave ego home and sit down and work out a contract. It can't be that hard.
My name is Jennifer Morgan. I am a parent of 2 students in the Clinton Township School District. I have a 6th grader and an 8th grader, and I have also recently begun working in the township school district as a TA in 2nd grade. And I feel this has been a huge learning experience for me. Not only have I learned how much teachers put into what they do, but I've also learned about the lack of communication between the parents and the school district. The parents, I feel, do not know what is going on. And they would be much more supportive if they knew how much support their teachers need. Mm-hmm. And I really think we need to get the word out, parents who are here and parents of teachers who also have kids in the school district. We need to get the word out and get more parent support. There should be more parents at these meetings. When I was just a parent and not in the school district, I really didn't understand, and I didn't really physically see how this is affecting our teachers. We just trust that these people who have dedicated their lives to our students, our kids, are going to be there no matter what. And now I see that this is negatively impacting their ability to do their job to the best of their ability. They do a remarkable job despite the fact of what they're going through. But they really need the teacher support and the board support, and we need to get this settled as fast as we can. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Carol Cathart Johnson, and I've lived here for 36 years. And I am so grateful to the volunteers on the school board and to all of the teachers, because my kids went K through 8, Clinton Township, then they went to North. And I'm late to this meeting because the kid of mine who has a PhD in optical physics and is on the design team for our national Solar Observatory off in Maui, although he lives in Boulder, where the rest of the design team is. I'm really grateful to every single person in this room because my kids got a great education. And one of them is a former teacher in North Carolina, where if he had stayed a teacher, his kids would be on food stamps. So I'm talking about our whole national problem of affording ourselves. And I am sorry to say that in the 36 years that I have lived in my beautiful house here and had wonderful people in my community and done so much volunteer work, we can't pay me for what I am doing and have done. But I am a nurse, a registered nurse. I worked for Hunterdon and Pediatrics for 23 and a quarter years. And what is inside the negotiations is very important, just like whatever's inside this box is very important. I don't know what's in it. You guys don't know what's in it. But it's called health care. And as a nation, we have failed to have the right priorities. 1994, Hillary Clinton, under her husband Bill, was working to have health care for all. Just like they have it in Spain, England, Canada, any other first world country has health care for all. But what we're fighting about is, are you guys going to have a better health care than my health care? You know, dumb. So it's dumb. We have to vote for health care for all. We are the only first world nation that has, you know, you have the pie. Well, usually people pay for health care and they get it. But in the United States, if you get sick, somebody has to make money off it. Am I out of 3 minutes? Maybe. But in our health care pie, 29 cents goes to health insurance people who tell you whether or not. So, this is a local issue, but it's not really a local issue.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry, your 3 minutes is long.
Okay, thank you. We'll solve it later.
Good evening. My name's Roberta Grambor, and I'm a teacher who's been in the district for 20 years, and I've been an educator for 35 years. And I want to follow up on what one of my colleagues mentioned about the consequences of work to rule, and also talk about the climate in the district. So I've been here over 20 years. I have over 100 sick days. I'm going to carry over my personal days. I've got lots of personal days. So I was sick with bronchitis last week, and I had to miss 2 days with my students. So when I'm the doctors, I find out I have to have, I have to go to the cardiologist, and I have to get a test. So I made that appointment this morning at 8 a.m. so I could go in, I could have that test, I could have peace of mind, and I could come here and I could be with my students. But because of the climate right now in the school, and because of the work to rule and all of that, you know, when I called and said, look, you know, I might be about 15 minutes late. I might miss standing in the hall. I know I have colleagues that'll stand in the hall for me, but I will be there by the time my first student walks in the classroom. But the consequence is, if I'm a minute late for work, there's a blue sign-in sheet, and I have to sign in that. So how does that make me feel? How respected do I feel after 20 years in the district with over 100 sick days as somebody who's there early and stays late? If you talk to any of my colleagues, you talk to any of my parents, they'll tell you that I'm a dedicated employee, and I feel really disrespected.
Hi, everyone. My name is Angela Pfeffer. I live in the district, taxpayer, don't currently have any kids in the district. And I have a question for the board for you guys to answer later. Back in December of 2016, the board offered the teachers union a chance to negotiate in public over the contracts. As evidenced by multiple people coming up here tonight, it sounds like they would like to have an open public discussion over negotiations. So I'm just wondering, is the board open to that, seeing as they offered it multiple years ago? Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to close the floor now, open the floor for first recognition of the public. Same parameters for agenda items only apply here. We'll be limiting this section to 10 minutes. No, seeing none, we'll close the floor. Move on to the report of the business administrator. Mr. Folkowski, may we have your report, please?
Sure. For up for approval is the board secretary and treasurer's report for the month of March 2019. Our line item transfers through March 31st, 2019. Certification that the commercial expenditures do not exceed the line item appropriations. We're also approving a whole bunch of minutes, July 23rd, 2018. July 31st, October 22nd, October 25th, November 19th, December 17th, January 7th, 2019, February 25th, 2019, and March 18th, 2019. The ones these are approved, these will be put up on the website for the public to view.
All right, thank you. I'm looking for a motion for action item 19BA-26. And action item 19BA-029.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Second, Allison. Questions?
I had a couple of corrections on the minutes. These, I think, are mostly minor corrections on January 7th.
Mrs. Cohn, I did relay that to Mrs. Cohn, and they re-listened to the minutes and found that they were accurate in the way they were represented. So.
I listened to the minutes as well, and I have not been appointed to be the ESC representative, so I don't know which meeting that was.
We can pull that one off. And
okay, I'm particularly concerned about that one, because yep. If I'm supposed to be a liaison to something that I'm not actually the liaison to, I don't want that reflected. The other two were just minor corrections, so if those can be friendly amendments. On February 25th, both Mrs. Brennan and I summarized the Hunterdon County School Board Association meeting in old business.
No,
I'm
sorry.
You did.
Do we want to just hold those?
We'll
hold those. Thank you.
Okay, and then on March 18th, there's just a typo there. I abstained from the action item 19BA-025, and it just says 02.
We can either correct it or hold it.
We can correct it.
Which one are we holding?
I couldn't quite hear what you guys said.
We'll
hold them so we don't vote on those?
We'll correct it.
Okay,
thank you. And we'll hold the February 25th. Do you know which
in
minutes?
January.
It was the January 7th that you?
Yeah.
The January 7th minutes say that I was appointed to be the representative to ESC.
We'll hold those as well.
And Dr. Cohn, if it's helpful, it's action item V.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? We have a roll call, please.
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
I'm sorry, real quick question. We're holding the January 7th minutes and the February 25th?
Yeah, January 7th and February 25th minutes are being removed from the motion.
Okay, yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rihimaki?
I would like to abstain from the minutes from 2018.
Sure.
Otherwise, yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Move on to our first committee report. Mr. Kevin Malloy is the chair for Facilities and Finance. Mr. Malloy, may we have your committee's report, please?
You may. On April 11th, the Facilities and Finance Committee met at the school board office. 9 key topics were under discussion. Certain topics included the receipt of grants. Most of these, if not all these, will be voted on tonight. The professional development for teaching in other districts, transportation, tuition joint agreements with Lebanon Borough, security upgrades, shared transportation on a co-op with an administrative fee, certain contracted special education services, and certain issues having to do with water and facilities in the general area of our schools. Tonight, prior to executive session, I seek motion on 26 or 25 items. They will include, of course, payment of bills, 3 continuing ed course approval items, 7 IEP program approvals, and approval of a renewal for WeVideo, 1 in-district professional development, 1 prior amendment from the March meeting amending the cost of a hotel from 220 or to 220 from 210, 2 separate security purchases, 2 pass-through collections for the State Non-Public Schools Initiative. Those act as, if you recall the last 2 meetings, as a public school, we act as fiduciary when we take grant money, pass it through, and in both cases, these go to ICS. 1 release document for a district employee, 1 approval for coordinated transportation with the New Jersey Educational Services Commission, 1 transportation jointure agreement with Lebanon Borough, 1 send receive tuition agreement with Lebanon Borough, wastewater treatment plant repair, and approval of architectural plans, the board's architect of record being Perret Samjan, for submission of plans and paperwork with regard to the renovation and or new bathrooms at Patrick McGarren. Important note there, this is paid through district capital reserve. This is not being paid for with any additional taxpayer funding, nor do we seek any specific grant for that. We also, I believe I said it, I don't think I said, but we accept a grant from the New Jersey State Insurance Group for safety. So, with that in mind, I seek a motion on the following 25 items, 19FF208 through 19FF232.
Looking for a second, please.
I'm sorry, what was the last number?
232.
Not 233. Not 233.
Correct. 233 will be voted on per the friendly amendment after executive session.
Any questions for Mr. Malloy?
Did you need a second?
I believe Ms. Grantham seconded.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you. Dr. Grantham, excuse me.
Roll call, please.
Okay, Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rigamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Moving on to our Personnel Committee meeting. Personnel Committee met on April 11th and discussed the following items. The hiring of a TA for an IEP need, a substitute nurse, substitute TA for students during video journalism club, the need for teachers teaching assistant on April 5th to assist students with a move-up dance, hiring of a 0.5 secretary of Patrick McGarren, a substitute custodian, the hiring of a supervisor of building and grounds. We spoke about the staff who attend district professional development days occurring on non-work days. We also spoke about staff to participate in summer child study team meetings at a rate of 28.62 cents per hour. We spoke about the request for 5 leaves of absences, an employee paid leave, and their associated dates. We also talked about a resignation of a CTMS health office clerical aide, the need to rescind a retirement of a staff member, and discussion of staffing appointments and reduction recommendations. I'd like to also amend action item 19 PN211 to include Christina Knapp and Heather Stanley. So with that, I'd like to move action items 19 PN-195 to action item 19 PN213. Looking for a second, please?
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rimaki?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. move on to the committee of our policy committee. Ms. Brooks is the chair of that committee. Ms. Brooks, may we have the report of your committee, please?
Policy committee met once virtually during the month. We approved the second and final reading of five bylaws. We approved the first reading of two bylaws and approved the following staff and members of the affirmative action team to conduct a needs assessment and develop a comprehensive equity plan for the years 2019-20, 2020-21, and 2021-22. Joanne Henkel, Thomas Connolly, Alexa Ingram, Jennifer Pacione, and Michelle Lafitte. With that being said, I would like to move for approval of action items that are disappearing from me as I look. PC 19 PC 002 through 19 PC 004.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Dr. Ehrman. Any questions for Mrs. Brooks this evening?
Yeah, I have a question. Briefly, what is the comprehensive equity plan?
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. Mrs. Brooks is also chair of the curriculum committee. Mrs. Brooks, may we have a report of your committee with that as well?
The curriculum committee met once during the month. We approved trip dates for following field trips that are not at board expense. May 30th, Great Adventure, Jackson, New Jersey. This is actually a date change due to a change in the numbers of students, requiring a change to the way that the competition in which they're participating is being offered to them. There's a May 10th rain date, May 17th, 2019, for a trip to Bunt Park for the second and through eighth graders. The only difference from the May 30th trip is actually a change in the cost for busing. This was approved last month. The Board of Education, or the, sorry, the committee also approved May 15th New Jersey Bar Foundation Law Center field trip at the expense of the board, as well as an April 10th trip to the Hocus Focus learning presentation for autism students from PMG to RBS. May 24th, 2019 move update for grade 2, and May 15th, 2019 planning the transition presentation for fifth graders, delivered by the eighth grade student ambassadors, and approve the Art Goes to School program to collaborate with Laura Evans to share activities with second grade students during the month of May. That being the list, I move for approval of action items 19 CUR 050 and 19 CUR 052.
Second. Looking for a second, please.
Dr. Second. Grantham, just Allison.
Any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Mrs. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Ms. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. Feasibility of closing a school does not have a report this evening. I'd like to move on to old business of the board. This portion of our meeting is for the board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it's a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to business of the board. Does anyone have any old business for the board this evening?
I had one item. So last year, Mr. Malloy brought up the change in the HIB law that allows for building principals or their designees in consult with anti-bullying specialists to determine if a potential HIB violation warrants an investigation. And I know at the time the response was that we were going to look into what other districts are experiencing before we decide how, if we're going to change our approach. I'm wondering if we can set a specific time when we will revisit this issue, perhaps a year out from when the law was actually implemented, so that we can actually revisit that discussion.
I think that's something that we're looking at moving forward, and in conjunction with our legal advice as to how that's worked out for other districts. So yes, we would like to look at that, say, over the next couple of months.
So there's no specific time, I mean it, okay.
I think a couple of meetings ago it was discussed that we wanted to not necessarily see how many districts adopted it, but what the legal fallout was from those districts that did.
That was my understanding, and I'll let
council answer, but I think that's probably an open timeline.
Right, I'm just wondering if, you know, if it's an open timeline, sometimes you never come back to it, and it would be nice to come back
correct,
to
yeah.
it.
Correct, yeah.
We will. Yeah,
we definitely will. Thank you.
It has the potential to save time if it works out well in other districts, but so far the indications are that it's not exactly the real time we have hoped.
Okay. I had one other, I think it's in old business, which is the Hunterdon County School Board Association meeting. Mrs. Brennan and I attended the Hunterdon School Board Association meeting on April 1st. It was about social and emotional outcomes. We heard from the superintendent of the Kingwood School District about the challenges that all district professionals have in helping students get in sync with the classroom rhythms and expectations. And he advocated that this cannot be done with simple off-the-shelf programs. Rather, he suggested that it requires significant expertise and persistent attention by the district professionals. So it was a great discussion. I would encourage any other board members, take Mrs. McLaughlin's role here, to encourage other people to come. The next meeting is May 21st. It's on advocacy, and there will be an end-of-the-year celebration with the Somerset County School Board Association.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor now for new business. Under this section, like old business, this is not a time to make personal statements, but rather to discuss new topics relative to the board. Any new topics for anyone?
Not so much a topic, but I got to attend the second grade concert at PMG in April. That far. And I just wanted to say what a great job everyone did, and all the, you know, the teachers and the music teacher. They were awesome, and I really, really glad we could put those things on for our families. Also, I got to attend TREPS, and it was a really fantastic evening. I spent way too much money, but I got some awesome items that I got to eat some great potato chips, and there were some awesome caramel corn. I say awesome. I wanted to buy the gigantic trash bag of popcorn. But those are some, it's really inspiring to see our students make all the effort to go through to make the business plan, to make an item or come up with something, and to also then represent, you know, do marketing. It's just really impressive of our students.
So to follow on that, so when you go to TREPS and you talk to the kids, they do these things completely on their own. I mean, these are just really, really amazing kids who think up marketing plans, products, and the products were unbelievably creative. The kid made nut-safe kettle corn. I've been working my whole life for nut-safe kettle corn. And it was fantastic. One of the students I talked to actually had a booth at Community Day.
Yes.
You know, I mean, these are impressive young men and women who actually sit down and think up business plans. And as, I don't know if every parent did this, but my child who participated in TREPS seriously didn't want my help.
Yeah,
I got this, I'll do this, right? I was pretty impressed, and I'm sure that most of the other kids did the same thing. So congratulations to the teachers and the staff who managed TREPS, to the parents who gave their kids the initiative to do it themselves, and to the kids who took all my money.
So much money.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Cookies were good. Those wooden spoons, I needed all of them.
Okay, so I know this is, we have a lot to do. I go, there's a child making wooden spoons. I said, how did you do it? And I'm telling you, he said, first I cut down the tree. And I said, that you can't, and he showed the video. So it's just amazing. So.
I wanted to offer one other set of compliments, which is I attended Science Night with Dr. Grantham and the penny auction, and the amount of effort that parents put in and our community members who donated time, raffle gifts, their expertise. It was really uplifting just to see how many people were invested in our school district. So thanks to everyone who put that together.
Okay, I'll close the floor then and open up the floor to our second recognition of the public. Same parameters that I mentioned before with public comment section on agenda items only. Apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board this evening, approach your microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. No, seeing none, we'll close the floor. And Mr. Volkowski, could you please read the executive session statement?
Okay, whereas while Senator Byron N. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b, sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public bodies is or may become a party, any matters falling within attorney-client privilege to the extent that the confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A 37-13(2), attorney-client privilege, personnel, and collective negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 240 minutes, okay, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now therefore be resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as a reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
So just to clarify, not just for the members of the board, but for the members of the public, given this change and the nature of the agenda, the only item remaining for action from the board is the item 233, namely the vote on the budget. So I just want that clear for everyone, given the subject matter, the change in the agenda, and the length of the executive session. I don't want there to be any confusion about that. Or potential legal issues. So I wanted to clarify that for the members of the board before the vote was taken.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, sir. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. Brunn. Second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Emery. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting, please.
Motion.
Second.
So, Dr. Grantham and...
You want to do third recognition in public?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Malloy, sir, would you like to read your resolution?
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Grant. Action item 19FF233. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the following resolution to adopt the 2019-2020 budget. Whereas the 2019-2020 budget includes sufficient funds to implement the proposed planning process as described in this district's annual report pursuant to NJSA 18A:7A-11 and to provide curriculum and instruction mandates by the state and necessary safety and security measures which shall enable all students to achieve the New Jersey learning standards. Therefore, be it resolved, the Clinton Township Board of Education approves the 2019-2020 budget in the amount of $25,595,326 as follows. 2019-2020 expenditures in the general fund of $27,510,570, special revenues of $302,000, debt service of $2,103,006 for a total of $29,915,576. Less anticipated revenues in the general fund of $4,018,250, special revenue of $302,000, no debt service for a total of $4,320,250, and taxes to be raised in the general fund of $23,492,320 and debt service of $2,103,006, totaling $25,595,326. Be it further resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the operating budget tax levy in the amount of $23,492,320.
Thank you, Mr. Malloy.
Second.
Who was that?
Any questions for Mr. Malloy?
No.
Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figaro?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. I'm looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting. Second?
Second.
Ms. Emery, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming back.
Good team.